faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's the One Epic Life podcast. Two guys with some microphones, empowering people to live epic and break from a life of mediocrity. So take your shoes off, camp out for a bit, and get ready for another epic episode of the One Epic Life podcast.
Welcome to the One Life podcast. So excited today for our guest, Brad. Welcome, man. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dude, we've been talking about this for a while, and now we finally get to do it and talk about kids and your role in the community and just ultimately the work we're doing together and the lives we're trying to change, trying to equip and empower these kids. So super pumped about today. I got to ask you, though, what's been going on in the life of Brad? Because I haven't seen you much. You've been working. When we get together, it's like we work and then you're off and going. So tell me about it. What's it been like?
It's been busy, but it's been good. It's been, I would say, one of the best times and seasons of my life right now. Past year, I took over our central campus, so youth minister, working with kids there. Right. Traveled all around, went to England, did a whole tour with one of the pastors out there, and most importantly, just recently got engaged.
Congratulations, brother.
Yeah,
congratulations.
To my beautiful fiance. So it's been a good year.
That's exciting. Are you excited?
I am.
Okay. Every time you ask that question, man, you light up. So I know you are. So that's awesome, man. We really wanted people to be able to listen to this podcast today and really just get an idea of your heart, your vision for San Diego. What these kids are really going through, because me and you are kind of on the battlefield for these kids.
Right.
And a lot of times when people hear, oh, he's a youth pastor, or he's a church leader, sometimes they shut you off. But to get to know you and really understand your heart and what you're trying to do to help these kids. So I commend you for the fight you're in and the mission you're on. It's amazing, man. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Greg.
Yeah. So let's jump into this. I'm an older guy, so the way I was taught, and it's that old school, you just got to do it, you know, you got need to do it this way, pull your head out of your butt, you know, stand up, get stronger,
right.
Like, you know, snap out of it. And it's like, it's different time now. And not to sound like one of those old guys that go, when I was a kid, but it's definitely different. Working with teens and youth, it's different. My eyes have really been opened up, because the way I received information as a kid and the way these kids receive information is completely different. Would you agree?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting to, or, you know, something to recognize that the society from when you grew up is totally different than society today.
Yeah.
Because of a whole bunch of different things, but one mainly is social media has opened up a world that these kids live in today that is, you know, far different from the teenage years of Greg Howard.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about the teenage years from Greg Howard. I had a cassette recorder. That's what I started out on. Actually, my middle school years, I still had a record player with a little 45. You probably don't remember this because you're younger than I am. But I remember listening to the countdown and, you know, hitting record and hitting pause and hitting record and hitting pause and making my own mixtapes. And then, and then the CD comes along and I'm like, I don't know if I can learn this. And then I learned the CDs, and then, now, I mean, dude, streamable music and, you know, everything from nanos to, I mean, it's just MP3s. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just me going through that, I can imagine how my grandma felt the first time I handed her a remote control, and she just looked at me like I was some kind of Fruit Loop. And I can remember this day. She goes, well, how am I going to learn how to use this? And I was like, just trying to teach my grandma how to use a remote control was a chore in itself. So I can imagine how she felt, what I went through, and now what I'm seeing in my life and what you're seeing. And
right.
So it's pretty amazing, yeah. Man. It's
well,
awesome.
And imagine the gap between, you know, the older guys and the younger guys now when it comes to using the cell phone and how to stream, how to download apps, how to use apps. You know, if you're teaching your grandma how to use a remote control,
yeah.
It's exponentially greater now on what teenagers know versus what adults know.
Totally. So We just got out of an amazing coaches training we did and this past weekend with you. And, man, you rocked, by the way. I was amazed on your component that you taught about the mindset of youth. And I was just kind of wondering if you could kind of just take us down some statistics, take us down the mindset of a youth now, and kind of just give us an idea for our older listeners. How do these kids think? What are they going through? We know, me and you know, because we sit there and we life coach and speak in these kids' lives, and we find out the amazing hardships that some of these kids are living.
Right.
It's incredible. Like, man, it just blows my mind at times of what some of these kids are going through, and then the ability for them to go to school and still thrive and want to succeed. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah. So can you kind of just give us an idea of a mindset of the youth?
Yeah.
As far as a Gen Z type kid, right. Not a millennial so much, but a Gen Z.
Yeah. 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 And I can give you kind of an overarching statement.
Yeah,
you know, obviously
awesome.
This isn't for everybody, but in order to really understand the mindset of a teenager, we have to really define, you know, what's Gen Z? What's a teenager? And so one of the things that is a big marker in times to separate generations is big historical events, things that you'll remember.
Okay.
Specifically 9/11 is that marker to when millennials shifted from a millennial to Gen Z. Is if you could, you know, cognitively remember the impact that 9/11 had,
right.
Which would put you at about 1996, 97.
Okay. Okay.
So that's the age that Gen Z begins,
okay,
is from 96, 97 to current.
Okay.
And one thing that, you know, that these guys have walked through or have not had to walk through is a real world tragedy here in America.
Right.
You know, the millennials kind of experienced that. Gen Z didn't get to experience that, but they did experience 2008, and they may not have understood the repercussions of what the stock market does and what the housing market bubble popping. But what they do understand is what it did to their families.
Oh man.
The separation.
I've never thought about that. That's pretty awesome. Can you go into that a little bit? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that just kind of hit me. I was thinking, yeah, they're not going to understand the whole financial stuff and banks and institutions, but what it's done to their family. That's very,
right.
That's a very interesting point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So many, many families, downsized, you know, had to figure out ways so that they could still survive, you know.
Okay. Okay.
And then you pile on divorce, you pile on a rise in PC, the trigger words, you know, all this type of stuff. We've got university and college funds, the debt that you can't cancel. And
right.
So it's almost like a perfect storm for a teenager to what we're seeing and what a lot of older people are, you know, targeting these guys as being the snowflake, the sensitive teenagers that are just on their phone and pretty lazy. You know, that's what we're stereotyping them as. But the reality is that when you grow up in a world in that environment, and then you add the ability to disengage through technology, through social media, most everybody would.
Wow.
As a teenager, you would naturally just go to social media as kind of an avenue. So you've got these two different things playing out. You've got, the recession, parents, divorce, and that whole side of our culture and society, as well as the rise of social media and the exposure of people. And, so it's a pretty interesting thing that just how it's shaped this current generation.
Right. Are these kids, you know, we hear that term snowflake, that as soon as any pressure or any kind of adversity comes onto them, they melt away or fall away. Or I was talking to my son the other day and I asked him, I said, hey, if this person confronted you on the at a restaurant and you had a customer that came through the drive-thru and the customer was angry and he started yelling at you, what would you do? And he said, I wouldn't deal with it. I would just walk away.
Right.
And it kind of hit me like, man, like, you know, you wouldn't deal with it. But I was trying to explain to him, the girl that actually dealt with us, we had a girl first that made the mistake.
Mm.
And then this other girl filled in, a young kid. But she, man, she handled it so professionally, so well, so well spoken, not agitated, you know, served us, and it diffused the situation. And so I just wonder, I mean, are these kids really that weak? Are they still driven? Are there kids that still want it? You know, I mean, like, it's just kind of interesting to me to see all these kids and how they function in and out of each other. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. I think there is a sense of the inability to deal with certain things.
Right.
So I would say that there is a level of more sensitivity,
right.
But the reality is, and it's something I've heard you talk about quite a bit, is they weren't given the right tools to really succeed, especially in the areas of conflict and how to resolve, how to hit it straight on. And here's something to think about is, you know, you see it all the time, maybe even in that restaurant, how parents generally will deal with an issue is just give them a phone.
Yeah.
So that is how they've been ingrained, is this idea that when conflict, when something comes up, they kind of avoid by just hopping on the phone or just, you know, go to your room and play your video games or whatever. So we're avoiding teaching kids how to deal with conflict through example.
Yeah. And that's our heart. I know that's your heart as well. Cause we team life coach together and we mentor these teens, and that's a big deal because one of our big things is teaching kids to conquer avoidance. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last night in our coaching session is getting kids to go straight through rather than going around.
Right.
And we commended one of our young ladies that we coached last night on that specifically. And the fact that she's been offered in her generation, she's been offered numerous times to have medication because of ADD or whatever it is. And she's decided consistently not to take it, to go straight through it. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
And so conquering avoidance, fear of failure. I mean, when we did those, we did our evaluations on kids and we found out the number one was fear of failure, procrastination, and family issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those three are heavy, heavy things that even most adults deal with.
Right.
So we're trying to equip these kids at a very young age. And I appreciate C3. What an amazing church, by the way, to come and allow us to come in there and develop this out to help these kids.
Right.
And I think we're starting to get a lot of traction. So
yeah,
and I think our listeners want to know, I mean, for so long, I mean, not just in the church, but in communities in general, people are like, well, these are teens over here, these sweaty little weirdos, and let's push them over here and let's just keep them contained. And they don't have a lot of worth. They don't have much of a brain. I don't think that's true. I mean, would you agree that these kids are pretty bright individuals?
Absolutely. The human being is pretty bright, and these kids are. And one thing that we've discovered, you know, within the church ministry and also with you and I life coaching, is that they're pretty brilliant. They just rarely have the opportunity to have purpose and have a voice. And so when you can give those two things to young people, they rise to the occasion.
Yeah. I see it every day. I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. And, you know, I think, as we move forward on our, you know, our fight for these young people, it's really important to understand. And you said this so well, about a month ago, was like, we're looking at these kids at 15 and 16, but what we're really looking at, we're looking at a 30, 35 year old, member of a church, member of a community, member of an organization, an employee.
Yeah.
We're looking at those kids right now.
Yeah. These are your business owners, your executives.
These are the people that you're going to be hiring in a business or being involved. So I think just our whole idea of equipping and empowering and then supporting them, putting that team around them is so significant.
Absolutely.
So significant. Yeah. I want to just go through some statistics. Sorry, can't speak today. Just on teens in general right now, and I know you brought some information too, but for people that don't know, really the number one cause of death among 12 to 18 year olds right now is teen suicide,
mm-hmm.
which is a staggering number, which has actually doubled in the last year, mm-hmm. and that is just so alarming. And I'd seen this poll that 30% of teens nationwide had felt sad or hopeless for more than 2 weeks in a row, and then actually had stopped doing their normal activities that they participate in, so their friends or whatever.
Right.
That's crazy, man, when you think about that.
Yeah.
That that we know adults deal with depression. And it's funny because there's a pill out there for everything, right? To get better. But when we go to talk about mental health and depression and these kids and suicide, mm-hmm. it's like there's almost this cloud over everyone that if I talk about that or I disclose that I'm depressed, I'm a freak.
Right.
I'm a weirdo. There's something significantly wrong with me. I need to be in a loony hospital. Mm. And how do we get that message across to youth that it's okay? Like, how do we do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think just opening the conversation up absolutely yeah. is saying, hey, you know, we understand that there you can be in this state of depression,
yeah.
but there is a way out of it.
Right.
And not all the time is it an actual mental thing, you know, a mental disability or an issue. Most of the time it's lack of hope or purpose.
Yeah.
And so when you can instill purpose, and it's why I love the church so much, is,
right.
We're able to give kids purpose. And
right.
and when that happens, that's when they're able to climb out of depression. And,
right.
But yeah, you're right. There is this cloud over it that people kind of don't want to go after. They don't want to address it. And they just want to shove it to the side and pretend it doesn't exist. But it's the thing that's wiping out our teenage generation yeah. right now.
It really
anxiety,
is.
Anxiety, depression, which then ultimately leads to suicide.
Right.
Because of, like I said, lack of purpose and lack of voice.
Yeah, I you know, the numbers, and we didn't have good reporting numbers before, and I found this out through a good friend of mine, Laura, who actually works on the teen suicide prevention side. She's very involved, and we didn't have good statistical numbers. We're getting good statistical numbers finally, healthy numbers that
yeah.
really represent the age groups where they're at. And it was crazy to hear, like, you know, 5,400 suicide attempts per day in young people. So kids Jeez. From 12 years old to 25. 5,400 across this country.
Right.
And we always hear this, well, we're in the richest country in the world, the most, and like, how could this be happening? But man, that just because we're in a wealthy, higher standard of living type country, that doesn't mean it brings hope and purpose.
Right.
And yeah. I think that's what people get caught up. Just like people get caught up with, well, if I was making more money, I'd be more happy. Well, mm-hmm. that's not true. That's not true at all. So I wanted to say those stats, and, you know, stats are stats, but these are real stats to me that speak to my heart because I care about these young people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what, you know, I want to really ask you this, and I've been wanting to pick your brain on this, but what is your, you know, what's your biggest goal and fight for the youth of San Diego right now? Where are you really putting your resources and your time? What's your vision for that? Like,
yeah, I would say, number one goal is what I've been saying, you know, throughout this podcast, is giving kids purpose and a voice. So the ability to recognize, self-realize that they have the ability to live an epic life. They have the ability to do the things that they want to do. And then be able to give them a platform or an area to really begin to work that out and to give them a voice. And so you know, obviously the number one goal for me specifically is to get people in relationship with God, because every time you can get into a relationship with God, it betters your life.
Right.
You know, there's always this, this almost negative connotation when it comes to talking about sin, and, you know, we don't want to talk about sin, but the reality is, and as simply as it's put, is that it's a negative pull on your life.
Right.
And so if you can get kids kind of aligned with the blueprint that God has placed, then it begins to switch from a negative pull to a positive push.
Right.
And so it'll propel kids forward,
right,
instead of pulling them back into the depression, the anxiety. So really, you know, the main thing is getting them in a relationship with God. But the secondary thing is giving them that purpose. Once that's there, giving them purpose and giving them a voice.
Yeah. And we've been really kicking it around and trying to really develop, coming out of those two choices or those two setups, is really having a team around you too, because
right.
it's crazy. Like, you come to this great revelation, you can go to clinics and trainings and come home and you're fired up, and then you get home on Monday and the same stuff's still going on and you have yeah. no one around you.
Right.
So I think, the fact that me and you have been very aware of that and really trying to, you know, reach these kids, not just at events, but calling them, texting them, being a part of their lives, meeting with them, letting them know, hey, we have a team that wants to support you mm-hmm. and help you be successful. And that to me is, that's a big deal. We still have family dinners in my home. It's still something we do, and it's just powerful because we get a good 30 minutes to be able to talk just directly with our son or our daughter when she's home from college, and it's fun.
Right.
But it's crazy though. Like, and I think it's good for parents to hear this and be aware of it. A middle school kid statistically right now gets about 34 to 35 minutes a day with their parents.
Wow.
So by the time when they get up in the morning and then they head to school and then they get home at night, they get 35 to 37 minutes of quality time. And the majority of that is always with the mom, and then the rest lays on the dad. But high school side, it goes all the way from that amount of time, it goes all the way down to 20 minutes. And wow. It's about 11 with the mother and about 9 with the father on average.
Jeez.
So I think that, you know, parents, that's a big deal. And I think a lot of times we get caught up and we're running our kids around all these sporting events and other events, and we think it's quality time, but real quality time is sitting down with your kids and listening. And we use a system. What was the worst thing that happened to you? What was the best thing that happened to you? And what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Right.
And it opens up conversation with your kids, allows them, because the main thing is not to isolate our kids in our home. And we do that everywhere. And if we can make that home a place where kids can actually come and talk and really open up to their parents without being judged, without immediately, instead of parents just immediately trying to jump down there and figure out the problem or solve a solution for them, it's right. just sitting there and listening.
Yeah.
And that's what we do with life coaching and that principle. And I mean, how powerful is that, you know, now that you're a life coach, you're a youth pastor, but you're a life coach.
Right.
And you're life coaching these kids and equipping and empowering them. How powerful is it just to listen sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. It's, and you know, we keep talking about it, but that's what I'm saying when teenagers need a voice is really somebody to listen to them.
Yeah.
But to take that even further for the parents is, and maybe we can, you know, do a follow-up podcast someday.
That'd be cool.
But really understanding the powerful questions aspect of it. Because one thing working with teenagers, you know, for the last 5 years is that if you don't ask the right questions, they don't talk very much.
Right.
You know, especially if you're a parent.
It's very true.
You know, how was school today? Good. What'd you learn? Not much. You know, and so it's really helping parents understand what questions to ask them. Maybe one of them could be, you know, did you see anybody get bullied today or picked on?
Right.
And if they say, yeah, that's a typical teenage answer, then you can use the, well, tell me about that.
Right.
You
know, right. Instead of the open end question of yes or no.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Where it just can stop.
Correct.
Yeah. You want to ask questions that promote a time for them to really elaborate on what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's asking the right questions, I would say, is the biggest thing with teenagers.
Yeah. And sitting there and being able to let them answer it. Right. I mean, I get caught up, you know, with my son, and we were talking this week about a kid at school, and it was, he had a question. He said, well, what if I have a friend who doesn't believe in God? And I said, well, so what? And he's like, well, you know, do you think I could invite him to come to church? I'm like, yeah, definitely. Like you should do that. And then I find out that he asked you at church.
Yeah.
And it's just letting them be able to speak and talk and figure that stuff out. So
it's just a
cool time. It's a constant learning experience with these youth. Mm. And, I'm just trying to get better every day, but the bigger thing is just really being able to listen.
Right. Yeah. And what you're saying with, you know, only 20 minutes of time per day with a teenager, most of that is a reactionary, trying to tell them, give advice, teach.
Your chores.
Correct.
Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have your cleats for practice? Do you have this? And then you get in the car and you're rushing to practice. There's not a lot of talk. There's not a lot of conversation and
that's
going
correct.
Back and forth.
And so something with that is when they're younger,
right?
They look to their parents for guidance, for advice, and for example. But when a young person becomes an adolescent and really steps into teenage years,
right.
They switch actually. And it's a lot of times we don't recognize it, but they'll switch from getting the advice and learning from their parents to their peer group.
Yeah.
So when, as a parent, if we're continuously trying to teach, advise, or tell, they're not listening. They're checked out. And so you have to really, you have to understand it to be able to change it and begin to ask powerful questions and listen. And through that, you can give advice and help your teenager. But they're mainly looking to the world. They've looked to you, you know, from childhood, and now they're looking to the world to answer questions. So it's just important to recognize.
Yeah. It's hard though. I'll just be honest with you. It's hard not to just want to jump in there and give the solution or give some kind of opinion that I have from my past experience.
Right.
And it doesn't relate to these kids a lot of times.
Yeah.
You talked about last week and we'll close out here. But you talked last week and you talked about the difference between millennials and Gen Zs, but you talked about these kids now and the fact of instant gratification and, you know, they can get anything they want. Can you go down a little bit as far as food, everything? I mean, like, what's it like for them compared to somebody who's older, you know, like me? I didn't have those opportunities at all. Now these kids have it. I mean, what is that? Yeah. What's that picture like?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like we were talking about earlier with the societies being totally different. And even as a, you know, I'm a millennial versus the Gen Zs, I used to, if I wanted food, I'd go hop on my bike, you know, at 14, ride down to Taco Bell, or McDonald's or whatever, you know, the closest fast food was and be able to eat. Well, now we've got Postmates, we've got Uber Eats, they instantly on their phone, they can just,
bam.
Yeah. So you can imagine if you're sitting there on Instagram or playing video games or something, you just pause for a moment, order some food on Postmates that your, you know, parents gave you some money for.
Not have to leave.
And then all of a sudden, 15, 20 minutes, it shows up at your door. So you've got that where technology has allowed or magnified, you know, the human nature of wanting things instantly.
Right.
And then you've got Amazon, Costco delivery, all these different types of things. You can rent the birds now, that those little scooters.
Yeah.
So it's food, transportation, delivery, everything is at the fingertips of a teenager. And it's the world that they know. They grew up in this. They don't know a world different. They don't know about the only way to go get food is hopping on your bike and riding down.
Yeah, that's not a reality for them. Like, it's not.
Right.
It's not as easy as me being older saying, you need to cut your your social media out. Well, what do you mean? I've had it my whole life.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not even attainable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's something where, you know, Gen X, millennials, baby boomers, we all knew a world before social media and before really the iPhone and the Androids and the smartphone.
Right.
You know, the era of the smartphone. And so. Right. For us, it's cool, it's fun, you know, we use it, and we actually depend on it now. But for teenagers, for Gen Z, it's like what you're saying, it's a world that they don't know any different.
Right.
They grew up in this. And so, you know, to try and tell your teenager, you know, you need to stop playing video games so much or get off social media, it's been integrated into their, you know, into their psyche. It is what they know.
Yeah. Man, that's powerful. And it's important for parents to understand that. Because then again, you're trying to go out and fish in a, you know, using that context, but you have the wrong lure.
Right.
And you got to understand if you're going to actually, you know, teach your kids and mentor them and be good parents is you got to have the right tackle. You got to meet them on their level, be relevant and change their lives forever.
Yeah.
Man, Brad, I appreciate today, man. I thank you for finally coming on here.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry it took so long. I'm looking forward to us maybe doing some hunting this fall. It's going to be a good time. And
let's do it.
Looking forward.
It's been an honor to be here.
Yeah, man. Good luck with being engaged. We'll definitely have you again on our podcast. Just appreciate your heart for kids in San Diego.
Yeah.
A lot of you don't know, but Brad has been on the forefront at the schools and on, you know, sex education and just different things that really, really affect our kids. He's been there trying to help the school along and say, hey, you know, here's some different ideas as well that here's what it does to these kids, and here's how it really affects them negatively. Cause I'm the one that, you know, like you said, I'm the one that has to pick up the mess.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You're the one that has to, you're the one that's dealing with them every day, going through all the emotions of it.
Absolutely.
And so we appreciate you for that. Yeah. But,
Hey Greg, can I leave the audience with something?
With
working with a teenager, whether you're a parent, counselor, teacher, you know, or just a friend, with Gen Z especially, and I think it's all human beings, but it's magnified with them, is to give them the why. So there is this,
awesome.
There's this idea that, you know, they can figure out how. YouTube tells them everything.
Right.
They don't need to know what or how as much as they need to know why. So we're so information saturated that, you know, don't continue to tell me how, or, you know, I need to clean my room, but really give a teenager the reason why these things will benefit themselves. So always That's trying powerful. To point it back to the, to them. This will help you because, and then give them the reason why.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
You'll see
awesome.
Tremendous results there.
That's awesome. Yeah, man, that's so true. And again, thank you for that. And that's, you know, we need tools as parents, and we need tools as uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas. It's not just parents, man, and friends that have kids. You know, we should constantly be trying to mentor our friends that have kids and be a good role model to those kids as well. So for you singles out there, or if you're married, but you have a friend, you have friends that have kids and you want to step in there and mentor, do it.
Yeah.
Do it in a healthy way and speak into their lives. And you can get tons of help from us at One Epic Life. We do life coaching, and we do life coach certifications, and through Elevate Youth Solutions as well. We have an amazing team and database that can help out. So just always remember that there's no simple solution.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you've got to be patient. You got to be able to listen. So thank you, Brad. Thanks for coming on. Again, we'd like to thank our listeners. Appreciate you, Brad. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
All right.
We want to thank you for tuning in to the One Epic Life podcast. If you have any questions for us, drop us an email at info@oneepiclife.org. If you're interested in personal life coaching or wanting to join our One Epic Fitness community, reach out to us and we would love to meet you. And finally, remember to embrace the journey of life you're on and to live epic every day. Until next time, love well and live epic.